This is the first Sunday in 2018. That sort of sounds strange. At the beginning of the year, many people ask, "Oh, what do you plan for this year?" And I believe within the heart of every person that they are believing that the next year will be better than last year. And then, you know, we got planners and we make resolutions and we set goals for the new year. But we'll never realize any of that unless we do something different. You know, many people can want a different outcome, but they continue to do the same thing. And you'll get the same results. There'll be no change. Now, maybe you need to start some new routines. Maybe you need to take action in places where you have been passive. And, you know, many times New Year's resolutions and plans include just about anything you can mention. But most people make resolutions and they intend to keep them. But it's because that they have no continued vision to bring about the results. It's one thing to see it and make a resolution. It's another thing to continue to see it, have vision of it, and bring it into its fruition, its reality. You know, many people, you know, they'll hold on to that vision of the next year for a few days, but after a little while, things happen and different things, and they lose sight or vision of what they have made a resolution to change and so forth and so on. You know, Proverbs 29:18, most of us know this. In the King James, it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that," he "that keepeth the law is happy." Now, the New King James says, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint." And then the New Living Translation says, "When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild." The Contemporary English Version, or CEV version, says, "Without guidance from God, law and order disappear." Now, the English Standard Version of that same scripture said, "Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint." So here we see in the King James the idea of vision. Now, as we look at that word vision in other translations, we get a better idea of what it's talking about. In the New King James, it said having God's revelation. In the New NLT and the CEV, it says means having God's guidance. In the ESV, the English Standard Version, it says it means having prophetic vision. Well, actually, as we begin to look at that, then without vision, or let's say it in the other words, revelation, guidance, or prophetic insight from God, you know, you won't go in the right direction. It says that they run wild. It says they cast off restraints. It says they do whatever they think is good as far as their thinking. So I want to encourage each of us today to get a personal vision or gain insight on what God wants for us next year. Now, you may think that I'm going to tell you to get some big ministry vision. No. I'm going to talk to you about getting the vision of what God's Word says. You know, when we think about organizations and businesses, even churches, Bible schools, if they don't have a vision, then nothing happens. You know, Jack Welch said this concerning business. It said, good business leader create a vision, articulate the vision, passionately own the vision, and relentlessly drive to its completion. Sometimes the difference between success and failure in a business is the fact of whether or not they continue to make the vision happen. We all need to have our personal vision from God about the future so we can walk out the plan that he has for each of us. I'm not talking about a ministry plan. I'm talking about what he says in the Word of God. You see, here, he has already written in the Word of God a vision for each one of us. And it's good for us to have this vision in 2018. Now, one of them is to be a witness. That should be part of our vision, personal vision. In Acts 1:8, it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, we don't have to pray about whether that is part of our vision for next year or not, because God already told us right here. Okay? But I want us to look at some of the reasons and values for having a personal vision. Now, we all probably know this scripture because the people use it all the time. Habakkuk 2:2. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on the tablets. The first thing that we need to understand in having a personal vision is that we have a clear understanding of what that vision is as directed from the Word of God. How many of you ever gone to the eye doctor? Yeah. And they have something they call 20/20 vision, right? That's supposed to be normal vision. You know, and that actually means you can see clearly at 20 feet what another person would normally see at that distance. Now, depending on what the doctor finds, he will tell you have normal vision, better vision than 20/20, or you got worse vision. Here's the question to you. When you say you need 20/20 vision, that's the title if you want it, it's on the screen. Here's the question. Do you have good, bad, or no vision at all for your life with God? See, he wants us to know what our vision should be personally for each individual. And he also knows that unless we can see that vision, we can't walk in it. So we need to realize something right here. We are all spirit empowered, and we need God's help. You know, now I can see fine without these. But when it comes to reading, get it out there for us. And I get tired of putting them on, so I just wear them all the time because they got these little deals right in here to help me to read. Okay? Now, sometimes I'll pray for your healing. Well, actually, I asked the doctor one time, I said, the reason that people can't see on reading and stuff, is that a disease or what is it? He said, no. He said, it's a matter of the eye muscles over a period of years. And most of the time you do it when you're in school and college, and sometimes you're reading all of these fine print books, and sometimes you don't have enough light on in the room and so forth. And finally, those muscles just get tired and they don't work like they used to. Now, how many of you guys used to have good biceps and man, I mean, huh? Come on. You still got biceps, but they ain't like they used to be. I don't care as you get older, if you still work out, you still can't lift the amount of weight that you did when you were younger, even if you're still working out. Come on. So, we need God's help with our eyesight, our spiritual eyesight. We need what I want to call this morning spiritual glasses to see the future. Come on. You know, if you want to see what the future holds, and God wants us to, you've got to see it. You know, as we talk about vision, you know, as I had the vision for this building, Lynette and I, we talked and so forth and so on, being raised in church, and I had a vision for what I wanted in this building. And I sat down with Ross McCready, architect, he was on staff, and we drew and redrew on this, before we ever even drew any plan, just line drawings of what the building would look like. Charlie was here, he's sitting right back there, he knows that. I don't know how many of those that Ross drew, bunches of them. Now, I had the vision to see it. Ross began to get that, and he saw it. Now, we finally got all the plans drawn and everything, and they come out here, and they started digging up the dirt to put in the slab to make our foundation, our slab for our foundation. And I would bring my pastoral staff over here. And they had just started digging up some of the dirt out to the front. And I went to about right here, I think, because I knew what the plans were. And I said, okay, this is where the pulpit is going to be, right here. And there's the congregation, and there's the balcony, and here's the choir back here. See, you got a choir loft behind those curtains back there that y'all can't see. That we'd see, and when we did this in '92, it's state of the art, but now it's all gone. They would say yes, but later on they'd tell me, they said, Pastor, you take us over and you tell us, we didn't see nothing. We saw ground. You see, I had that vision. You have to get a personal vision from God's word in order to perform all of the things that God wants us to do. You see, Abraham got vision from God. In Genesis 12, it tells him, now the Lord told him, get out of this country and I'm going to make you a great nation and so forth and so on. And Abraham, he left and started looking for the place that God was sending him to. Now, and he's going to make, and all of these things that God said to him, he saw them, but he realized that in the natural, they weren't possible. But Abraham had on the spiritual glasses, and he was able to see beyond the natural and see what can happen when you walk with God. I want you to notice that Abraham did not wander blamelessly through life. He went exactly where God told him to go. So we've got to clearly see what God wants out of us, each of us. Now, you see, every time you start talking about this, people want to go to ministry. No, I'm not talking about ministry. I'm talking about what each individual Christian that God wants out of all of us. Now somebody say, well, man, that's a little different. I never heard anybody. Well, I'm sort of different anyway, so you'll hear me do a lot of things. I'm not the norm, okay? But, you know, if you don't have vision, you can't run your race. You can't run well. You know, in Habakkuk 2, we go back there again. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. And then here, look here. Make it plain that he may run who reads it. The Lord God has written the vision. And he's made it plain right here so that we can run well in our Christian life. I'm talking about our Christian life. See, our vision doesn't have to be big for some gigantic thing. It could be something simple that we're dealing with. Maybe part of your vision this year is just not to fall into the same pattern that you did last year. Maybe it's just not to let some things bother you that bothered you. Maybe it's to take a step out of the comfort zone and move out a little bit. Maybe it's to learn to love people the way God does. See, part of our personal vision is found in the Word of God. I'm talking about for your personal life. I'm just gonna give about six different things here, but there's a whole bunch of them, but I'm just gonna mention these. In Matthew 28, he tells us to be witnesses for him. In Luke 22, he tells us to be servants. In Luke 6:38, he tells us to be givers. Hello. See, this should be part of your personal vision for this next year. In Luke 18:1, he tells us to be a person of prayer. In Mark 11:11, we know where we're going there. He tells us to be a person of faith. In John 13, he tells us to be a person who walks in love. You see, all of this should be a part of our personal vision for ourselves as we walk. Not for our wife, not for our husband, not for somebody else. This needs to be, see, we have a personal relationship with God, and we need to have our vision to accomplish all the things that God has asked, that wants us to accomplish in these areas. He wants everyone to be a witness. He wants everyone to be a servant. He wants everyone to be givers. See, many people say, oh, I can't give. I don't have much to give. I don't have much to give. Hey, give what you got, and you'll find out you'll get more. But hey, some people don't give anything. They say, get a personal vision. I'm going to give this year. In fact, I had a testimony from somebody not long ago that said that they had never given, and they part of this church, and they were able to give their 10%. They started giving 10%, and they said, man, things started changing in my financial area. You see, that's why we need to get a vision personally for all of these things, because when we get this vision personally for all these things and they become a part of us, then everything changes in us, around us, and with us. I'm talking about you personally. Point to yourself and say, I need a personal vision to accomplish the things that God wants me to accomplish. See, like, he wants us to be a person of prayer. Now, that's something that a lot of people are not involved with. All they say is short prayer. But I'm talking about actually stopping and spending some time in prayer. Now, I'm not talking about all day, every day. But a part of the day. And then, of course, to be a person who believes. faith. And then this other one that I brought up, a person who walks in love. That's probably the hardest one we need there is to do. We need to get a good vision of that. You know, when we do not have a vision of any of those things that I just talked about, we don't even make an effort to walk in them. When you have no revelation, and remember, see, and I'm going back here to what it said. What did it say? Vision, revelation, guidance, prophetic vision. When you have no revelation of prayer, then you don't do much praying. When you have no vision for prayer, you don't do much praying. When you don't have the vision for giving, you don't do much giving. You know, look at the Apostle Paul. On the Damascus Road, he got vision to run his race. And even though he encountered difficulties, he kept doing what God asked him to do. He had persecution, rejection, betrayal. He had to endure hardship. But when it was all said and done, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. When it's all said and done, can you say, I have been a witness. I've been a servant. What servant? Going back there and working with those kids, putting on one of these usher shirts, going out there and directing traffic, being a part of the connection team, being involved in helping. We have many that help with our funeral service. They help serve there, food. Hospital care team. I mean, all of those are part of being a servant. Now I realize this personally, this is just good pastoral preaching. I'm just talking to the family this morning. Come on now. You know. Can you say at the end? I've been a witness. I've been a servant. I've been a person of prayer. I've been a person of faith. I've walked in love. I've finished the race. Come on. Now, Paul didn't try to get in somebody else's race. He did his. He did what his. You see, you have to have vision. And you got to stay in your lane. I got any people here run track? If you run track, you're assigned a lane. And you got to stay in that lane. If you step, they got white lines there on that track or whatever color they are. Back when I was running it, because it was a cinder, black cinder track. Now they got all that really fine, easy stuff to run on. But it was a white line. And you step on the line, you're out of your lane. You can get disqualified. Stay in your lane. Stay doing what you're supposed to do. Well, I'd rather be an usher than working on a traffic team. Well, hey, maybe that'll happen, but right now, run your lane. I'd rather do something else. Right now, run in your lane. Do where you're supposed to be. See, then finally, if you have vision, you can endure. It's hard to continue to do something when you can't see why you're doing it in the first place. In fact, you won't accomplish it You have to, when you start, you have to see the end result. Back here while you're going through junk. I think they said Walter and Peyton ran, I forget how many thousand yards he ran. But it said he got knocked down every 4 yards. You know, when they put it all the tackles and everything together, they break it. You do all those statistics. But you see, he kept the goal in mind. He got back up and he ran again. He got back up and he ran again. See, now as you run your personal race, you're gonna have some difficulty. But you're gonna have to keep the vision in front of you. See, over in Joshua 1:8, it says, "Don't let this book of the law depart from your eyes." In other words, keep the vision in front of you. When I was running track, I was a sprinter, so I wasn't a long distance runner. I think if you're a long distance runner, you make it look around. I don't know. But I line up, I would get out, I'd get in my stance. And when I got in that stance, stepped into that lane, the only vision I had was the finish line. I didn't care who was over here. I didn't care who was over here. I didn't care who was in the stands. I didn't care who was on the infield. All that was important to me was I'm in a race and the finish line is down there. And I'm going to get there. That's what we have to have with our personal vision with the things of God. We have to have the vision inside of us to endure whatever comes our way. Think about this for a minute. In Genesis 37, there was a young man by the name of Joseph. Now he had a dream. And in this dream, all of his brothers and everybody bowed down to him. And they ridiculed him. And then he had another dream. And he had bowing down again. Now his family, he had that dream, that vision. And the family ridiculed him and rebuked him. His brother sold him into slavery. His Potiphar's wife falsely accused him. He got thrown in jail. And the Pharaoh's butler that said he's going to remember him, he forgot him. Yet he persevered. He endured all of this because he had the vision. And he became the second in command in Egypt. And his brothers did bow down before. Everybody did. That's what, in that second dream, everybody bowed down to him. We need to be like Joseph and endure as we run our personal life. I was preaching in St. Louis, Missouri in 1980. Man, I'm going along. I'm preaching. You know, that's back before I was ever a pastor. See, I teach and preach different now as a pastor does that. I was an evangelist. Man, I was going, you know, how to make the dream God give you come true. Talking about Joseph and others. And I said, we're going to have Rhema Bible schools all over the world. We don't have one here. But that vision didn't happen overnight. We've endured many things along the way, but we held on to that vision. And today in Spiro said he is watching. We got a deal. And also I got a text back from Jeremiah, said he is watching. Thank you for praying for him. Today, that vision that I had while I was preaching back in 1980, just 2017, It didn't even start to happen to about 2000. Now we have how many? 239 of them all over the world. What am I trying to encourage you to do? I've used different people and from the Bible examples, used myself and different things. I'm encouraging you to get your own vision for your personal life. So many times when we start talking about vision, people want to expand it into the group, the church, the family. And thank God, all of those, there has to be vision for all of those. But I want you to have a personal vision for your personal self. And it necessarily doesn't have to go. It hadn't got anything to do with being on a pulpit, being in ministry. It's a fact of seeing yourself. Seeing yourself doing the things that I talked about. Having the guidance to what? To do the things that, what did we talk about? Can you remember them? Huh? Let me go back and reiterate them for you. Being a witness, have a vision for that. Have a vision for being a servant, serving others. Have a vision to be a giver. Have a vision to be a person of prayer. Have a vision to be a person of faith. Have a vision to be a person that walks in love. You have to see it before you can do it. And when you see it, you have to keep the vision in front of you so that you can accomplish it. Or as somebody might say, run your race well. And then when you have the vision and you have it out in front of you, you can endure. And when it's all said and done, you can say, I finished my course. I did what I was supposed to do. And the Lord would say to you, when you can say those words, then you will see my rewards begin to come to pass in your life. And you will have a great and joyous time. Because I'm not so interested in all of your big, gigantic plans. I'm interested in you simply doing what I asked you to do in my word. And as you personally get yourself involved with my word, you will see that things will change and there will be a great victory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what the Spirit was saying, okay? That ain't written down here nowhere. Oh, praise the Lord. Anybody get anything out of this morning? Get your own personal vision. And then run well with it. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Let me ask this question. Bow your heads for just a moment. Is there anybody in here? You say, Pastor, I can't get a vision because I don't even know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Or you say, I know what it is to serve God, but I'm not exactly where I'm supposed to be with God. I need to rededicate my life. As I look across this room, anybody that's in that situation, I want to pray for you and I want to pray with you. Let me see your hand right now. Anywhere, I want to pray with you. You need Christ. You need to rededicate your life to God right now. You know you're not where you're supposed to. Let me see your hand. Anybody upstairs, downstairs, anywhere in the room? Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the today. But Father, if there be one person under the sound of my voice that does not know you as their personal Savior, your Father and your Son as personal Savior, or there's one person that needs to say, Lord, I'm sorry, I want to rededicate my life. I haven't been where I'm supposed to be. I pray that the convicting power of the Holy Spirit would be with them until they stop. and make you Lord of their life or rededicate their life. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.